church goes back to life before Jesus because of disappointment, because of whatever reason. The Bible says that there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, now this is important because he's a fisherman. This was life before Jesus walked into his life and stepped on his toes and said, Peter, follow me. Peter says, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Anybody see the fruitlessness? The lack of productivity? Anybody see how God did not bless that trip? The apostles were simmering in disappointment because life did not go the way they had pictured it was gonna go. Anybody been there or are there? I'm just not walking in the answers that I thought I would be walking in. I told the hyphens a couple days ago, I think my spiritual face should look like a pug because of how many closed doors I've ran into. But my God speaks through closed doors. Amen? Because I wouldn't trade it for the world to be where I am right now. It might not be ideal, but it's in his plan. Because I believe what his word says, that every step of the righteous man is ordered of the Lord. Though you may not see it, he's in it. Though you may not see it, he's going to use you. Though you may not feel it, God wants to do something greater with you than you could do for yourself. And so they went back to life as they knew it. They went back into coasting mode. They went back into, I'm just going to do my habits. I'm going to do what the old man would do, which is go a fishing. Forget the world and go a fishing. Forget about my promise. Forget about my mission. Because Jesus looked them in the face and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And Peter's answer was, I'm going to go fishing. Because nothing seemed to turn out the way he thought it should turn out. And Peter felt alone and afraid. But you can read the rest of this story because I don't got time to go into it now. Jesus steps in the scene and restores their faith. He repeats the words that he said to them in the beginning. Child of God, follow me. Lovest thou me? Peter learned right there and then. It's very binary. It's very much a choice. Church, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Church, if you love me, do my will. If you don't, you don't. If you don't, you don't. But if you will, not out of emotion, but out of a choice, say, God, it doesn't feel good, but I'll feed your sheep. God, even though I don't really feel like it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I'm going to sow in the spirit. I'm tired of reaping in the flesh. I'm tired of reaping in the flesh, reaping corruption, reaping frustration, reaping fruitlessness and tares. But it's time to start sowing in the spirit. I'm tired of seeing these pews empty. I'm going to start sowing in my workplace. I'm going to start sowing on the internet. I'm going to start doing something. Amen. So God stepped on their toes and said, turn around and come and follow me. And the next we read about them is as Luke writes in Acts. I want to turn to Acts 1 in verse 13. At this point, they don't have success, but they have a promise that the Spirit's coming. I hope I don't sound like I'm oversimplifying it, but I think I am. If you're feeling distraught, discouraged, and just all over the place, I think you need some more Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. I think you need some more Holy Ghost to wash away what your flesh sees and what your eyes see. Because when the Spirit comes, the Bible says you can walk by faith and not by sight. I've been knocking on the same door for year after year, but it's time to walk in faith. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13 says that when they came, they were coming, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. Catch this, church. They went into an upper room. They went into a higher place. And they did what? They didn't just hang out. They didn't just talk about, oh, it seems like I'm just in this season right now. Jesus already reprimanded them for talking about seasons. Read Acts 1. God, when's the kingdom going to come? It's not for you to know the season, child of God. It's time for you to be a witness. In the easy times, be a witness. In the hard times, be a witness. Quit giving ear and quit giving a voice to your frustration and start being a witness. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Amen. Megan so powerfully pointed out, anything powerful that happens starts with prayer. But it wasn't just prayer. They took it a step further. I think Jesus is so gracious because he gives you the opportunity to come just a little bit further. Jesus looks his disciples in the eyes and he looks at Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what does he say? Come with me just a little bit further. I want to take you a little bit further than everybody else gets to go. There's a pull on some hearts that, you know what? I know nobody else is getting this close to Jesus. I know you're scared. You're not going to measure up. You're going to fall asleep in prayer. But come just a little bit closer. Come just a little bit closer. The Bible says that they continued in prayer and supplication. Supplication is this implication of a need. It's this word denoting a desire, a wanting, a seeking, an asking, a pleading, a desperate cry. It's the flesh that tells you, it doesn't matter what you do, God's just going to do what he's going to do. You ever felt that way? You ever felt that way when God leads you to a fast? It doesn't really matter. God, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. When God leads you to pray for somebody, you're either going to heal them or you're not going to heal them, God. That's the flesh. Read through Genesis to Revelation. I read how Moses fell on his face before God and changed the very mind of Yahweh. Why? Because he was desperate for his people. He was desperate to see salvation for his children and his children's children. Now, I'm not okay with them perishing and me staying alive. But he had the spirit of Paul to say, I want to drag everybody into the promised land that I can. And they continued with supplication for day upon day upon day in desperation, seeking and asking and desiring for the promise, for the Spirit. And one day came where they didn't have to wait any longer. As the Holy Ghost fell in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. You know it and you can read it with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Come on, if there's something in 2020 God is trying to lead this church to, it's to being in one accord, not two accords, not one over here or one over there. But if your mind is in mission and in line with what our pastor is preaching, come on, there's the door. Come on, God is looking for one accord. He can do more with three people in unity than 300 in disunity and disjointed. Amen. God will just shift and God will parse out and parse out until Gideon has but 300 men of war to take the army. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. I don't have all night to talk about it, but a supernatural gift of God is always accompanied by a supernatural sign from God. God's covenant to Noah included a physical sign of the rainbow. God's covenant with Moses, with Abraham, included the physical sign of circumcision. Why? So that everybody who looked at Abraham wouldn't have to question within themselves, but they could say, this man or this woman, this guy is in the covenant. In the same way with the Spirit, there is no questioning those who are filled with the Spirit. Why? Because as Jesus said, the wind, you can't tell from where it comes, but there is a sound to the Spirit. There's a sound so you know where it's coming and where it's going. Undeniably apostolic. I'm telling you, somebody's got to stop being ashamed of who you are. I don't care if you're in the minority. I don't care if it's not popular. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. You're not going to come to the end of your life wishing you had not drugged so many people into heaven or made such a difference, made some way. Come on, you got to stop being afraid to make some waves. Amen. Read your book of Acts. They were thrown into prison. They were cast out of the church. Preach, preach, preach. My God, we've let it get kind of osmosis into my spirit. I'm going to lead the world to Christ if I just live a good life. Hello. How many people did Mahatma Gandhi lead to Christ? As good a guy as he was, the dude was not a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm just going to say the obvious. Leading just a good life is not going to bring people into salvation. But the Bible says, how can they hear? How can they hear except somebody be preaching the Word? My God. The Holy Ghost will change things in your life. Whether or not you've been in this thing for a year, 10 years, or 3 decades, the Holy Ghost will change things. Amen. Read your Word. The Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and they were filled with it again. And the whole place was shaken together. Why? Because I need to be filled and filled and filled again. If you're working, you're going to get empty. It's time to fill up. It's those that don't worship that aren't working through the week, and they don't need the Spirit of God because they've been operating on empty for so long. But if you want to work in the harvest field, you need to fill up with His Spirit. The Holy Ghost will give you focus. If there was one thing I wish would be imparted to this people, it would be a spirit of focus. As Brother Darren so powerfully pointed out, about distractions, how we have become distracted. And I'm not talking about on Sundays either. My goodness, how many in the church have become weekend warriors? You ever hear about that? Like Cedar Point, weekend warriors. I look like a normal dude Monday through Friday, but when Saturday, Sunday comes around, I'm a weekend warrior. I'm going to ride the craziest roller coasters, and I'm just going to get totally up there. And Monday comes around, you would never be able to tell the difference. How many people of God have become the same way? You're not going to lead anyone to God that way. Amen? I'm tired of living that way, where you can't tell on Monday what happened to me on Sunday. Come on, you ought not to be able to tell on Tuesday because it ought to happen to you on Tuesday too and Wednesday too. If you're seeking Him in your secret place, if you're calling on God in your closet the way you call on God at the altar when everybody's watching you, amen? What we need is not more inspiration. We need more Spirit filling, God. We need that fire to be shut up in our bones. I don't want something polished. I want something powerful. I don't care if I'm unlearned and ignorant. Let them know I've been with Jesus. My God. Is anybody realizing life is too short to play games any longer? Life is too short. We're already about to hop into 2021. Blink and it'll be summer. Blink and my boy will be 10 years old. Blink and my life will be over. And the Word says that anything that we build on this sure foundation, If we build it on our own accord of wood or metal, if we build it on my ideas, when the fire comes, it will all perish. But if we build according to the commands, where the Bible says that on this foundation are you laid, upon apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Come on, I want to build something that lasts. I want to make sacrifices so that my children can go further. Don't you want to make sacrifices in this church so that the next generation can go further than you have ever gone? So they can make more of an impact in this city than you ever could have? Amen. Today is the day. From this point on, the apostles did not struggle with fearfulness any longer. You just don't read about it. They were changed by the Spirit. And what is the doctrine that they preached? Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. This is for any of us who may think that it was just Peter. But the Bible says that Peter, standing up with the 11 who? The 11 Veggie Tales? The 11 Teletubbies? The 11 apostles lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And one more. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. My God, that promise is for you. But it's for your neighbor as much as it's for you. It's for that friend and that acquaintance. It's for that person on the street as much as it's for you. My God, love somebody enough to get out of your normal humdrum routine and start to talk about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God, he saved me. I was in bondage. I was in addiction. But the Bible says, such were some of you, but he washed me and cleansed me by his blood. And I promise that word's for you. They preached about the Holy Ghost. Why won't we? They preached about the crucifixion, the resurrection, and his place as Almighty. What's holding us back? And when it came time for altar call, he gave them an opportunity to make it right in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. It says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Amen. The key to any growth in God is to be vulnerable, to quit thinking we have it all together. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why? Because godly sorrow is an emotion, but repentance is an action. Not tied to my feelings, but tied to my understanding. I see I'm wrong. I see I put him on the cross. What shall I do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Who's this for? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are among. He's calling your name. All that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Come on. It's like that annoying telemarketer. He just keeps on calling. The voice is still going out. As long as there's life in your lungs and breath in your spirit, our God is calling us to salvation. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to stop proclaiming this message. Notice I didn't say hearing this message. So many of us have heard this message 1,000 times, but we have yet to proclaim it once. My God, convict me for not preaching truth to my friends, to my family, to those closest to me. Help me to love somebody enough to do what Peter and the apostles did. Show them the way, the truth, and the life. You see, from this point on, everywhere that the apostles went and they preached this message. It didn't matter if it was Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. It didn't matter if it was Paul. It didn't matter if it was Philip or Peter. They preached one message. They preached one truth: to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you want to be clean, go under the blood. If you want to be whole, obey Jesus. He said, he that wants to go to heaven, you got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. They preached it, they preached it, they preached it. It was a focus that they had. My God, give us focus tomorrow when we go into our workplaces. Focus the day after when we talk to somebody on the phone. Give us a focus that, to not just get comfortable. I know I've obeyed it. They didn't just hide in the background and live a good life. But they made it their personal mission to tell people what Jesus had done for them. What is holding you back? Is it that you're worrying what other people think? That's why I tell the kids, they're already thinking about you. I'm thinking about you right now. You're not ever going to be able to make people stop thinking about you. But you can be held by fear for so long that you come to the end of this and realize you brought no fruit to completion, no fruit to fullness. Is it that you feel inadequate? My goodness, welcome to my ball game. Because it's not about you, it's not about you, it's not about you. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, amen, that's all you need. Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men, but they had the Spirit. Amen. And so I want to close and I want to begin to open this up. And I want to look at one more verse. I want to encourage you to let God fill you the way he filled those apostles. No matter if you've heard this 1,000 times, is it still true? Is it still true? Do you still need the Holy Ghost today as much as you did then? We're going to read from 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 7 through 14. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. This is talking about Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah took his mantle and he wrapped it together. And he smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. And so the two went on dry ground. Mom, I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost gets inside of you, when the Holy Ghost fills you, you have an open door to the supernatural. You have an open door because Jesus says that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow them. That he will confirm the word with miracles, signs, and wonders. If you're preaching the word, you're going to see his hand. Look at the life of Stephen. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon thee, upon me. There was one man with the Holy Ghost looking at another man. Well, not the Holy Ghost, but moved with the Spirit of God, looking at another man who is going to walk in prophetic anointing. He said, what do you want me to do for you? As the generation in this book looks at us and says, what would you have us do for you? And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. As Jesus said, you're going to do greater works than me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire My God, one is coming that will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. They saw him rise up the way the apostles saw Jesus ascended. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He cried out with his voice, and he took up the mantle. He wore rent his own clothes in half and put on the spirit of Elijah. But you notice the first thing he did was he cried out with his lips. My God, when power fall from heaven, Elijah understood it's time to cry out. From the beginning until the end, God's going to use your mouth. You got to be willing to let go of holding back and cry out. Say, Jesus, I want what they got. I'm tired of just watching, but I want to walk in it. Amen. There are mantles falling in this atmosphere right now. I invite you to come forward and cry out with your lips.
Keeping me in bondage to a soul of pain. I can live by talked earlier and got our tithe and offering out as we started Sunday school. We waved it before the Lord as a wave offering. Matter of fact, I went so far as wrote Malachi 3:11 on the back of my envelope because I believe God's going to rebuke the devourer for me. Scripture says when we bring our tithe and our offering unto the Lord, that He will open up the windows of heaven and brought a blessing that we're not able to contain. And more importantly than that, that He will rebuke the devourer for our sake. I heard a man of God say the other day, whenever the devil gets after him, he doesn't rebuke the devil, he gets his wallet out. He said, devil, come on in. I'm going to give an offering. Well, I tell you what, that's exactly what I'm doing today. I'm saying, enemy of my soul, I don't talk to the devil, but proverbially saying, God's going to take care of you. He said, you know, when we give, God takes care of the devourer, and we get to enjoy the blessing. Well, I tell you what, I'm tired of fighting the devourer. I got a God standing behind me with a sword drawn today. It's called the Word of God, and God's going to take care of it. So if you had your offering out a while ago, waving it, your tithe, your offering, hopefully you got your check written already, we're going to take time. We're going to bring it here before the Lord. And I want you to claim Malachi 3:11. I want you to thank God. This isn't just giving an offering, folks. This is more about money. This is about submitting to the will of God. And God does not need our money. He needs our availability. He needs our hearts. But He chooses to gauge our submission through our giving. We're going to give to something. Something we're going to give to. I want to give to the kingdom of God. Amen? So, you got your offering? Have you given yet? No, haven't given yet. Why don't I get your offering out? We're going to do this one more time. Get your offering. If you got to go to your seat. Because I'm serious about this. We're going to hear victory reports. We're going to hear it. I'm not going to say I want to. We're going to hear victory reports of what God has done in our life this week. Because we're going to give. And we're going to obey the scripture. And God is going to take care of the devourer. Everybody got it? Are y'all ready? Hold them up so I can see them. I don't care how much you got in your hand. Let's wave them before the Lord. Father, thank you for this offering. We're giving it to you right now in obedience to the word of God. Because your word said, when I give, Lord, Malachi 3:11, you're going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. And Lord, I'm going to obey your word. Lord, I don't care if it's 50 cents. I don't care if it's $500. That's not the issue. The issue is honoring you, Lord. Let's come and give our offering to Him. And let's rejoice in the Lord. Because God is going to win some battles this week for us. Amen. Come on and give unto the Lord. Let's worship before Him right now. Amen. Let's sing unto the Lord. Magnify His name.
Sister Kathy to give her testimony she gave Thursday night about what God speaks to you and what He does.
I said it before, but Pastor asked me to give this again, so I'm honoring my authority by giving my testimony again. Once again, when Brother Finney was here and he spoke about that young man that he was trying to raise funds for to get him into a program, the Lord spoke to me and said, you will give $100. And I did not have it in our bank account to give at all. Now, Bill's check was going to go in there the next day, but it was all designated for bills, every penny. We weren't even going to have, you know, anything extra. And I thought, okay, but I heard it like God was standing right there, $100. So I wrote out a check, and I told Sister Julia, you know, that this is designated for Brother Finney. and that I didn't have it, but I was just going to trust God. And she said, I'm going to trust God with you. And the next day, my husband's aide, who comes, you know, to the house every day, Monday through Friday, he pulled me aside and he said, I have something for you. And I thought, what in the world does he have for me? And he gave me money. And I said, what is this, Mike? And he said, it's $100. He said, I sold a rollator that I took out of your house. He said, Bill asked me, you know, if I needed it or if I could find somebody to use it. He said, I sold it online. This couple called me out of nowhere on Sunday at 3 o'clock. They drove from Avon Lake and they didn't haggle the price. They paid me $100. So God already had that worked out before I even pledged $100. So I'm here to tell you that God is only bound by our lack of faith. That is it, by our lack of faith. So if we follow God, He will not. You can't go wrong. God is good.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to dismiss right now in Jesus' name. You can sing. Praise God however you feel. Just greet one another. Let the presence of God just do mighty things in your life this week. God's going to do miracles. He's going to do signs. He's going to do wonders. Amen. He loves us. He's fighting for us. Amen. He is a good God. God bless you.